This is All Things Considered from NPR News. I'm Melissa Block. More American soldiers and Marines have been killed or wounded in Iraq's Al-Anbar province than in any other part of the country. Al-Anbar is in an area known as the Sunni Triangle. In parts of the province, such as Fallujah and the provincial capital, Ramadi, the insurgency is so fierce that U.S. forces have all but abandoned patrols. NPR's Deborah Amos reports that an influential tribal leader in the province is proposing to open talks.
Al-Anbar province, with its rural farmlands and palm groves dotted with small cities and villages, is dominated by tribal politics, traditional Iraqis bound by family ties and a strict honor code. To govern here, the region's rulers have always had to make accommodation with the tribes. The Ottomans did it, and so did the British.
They, if you like, rented the loyalty of the tribes, and they put down a revolt in the 20s. And this has been consistent with Iraqi history, including Saddam.
Bob Baer is a former CIA agent who was stationed in the Middle East.
Saddam never had full control of Anbar province. What he did is he brought along the tribal chiefs, gave them certain favors, and didn't bother them as long as they didn't rebel.
The Dulaim tribe is predominant in Al-Anbar province, with more than 700,000 members. Sheikh Munhir Kharbayt says he commands their loyalty. Sheikh Kharbayt is a man in his early 60s who favors Western business suits over flowing robes. Reached by phone in his self-imposed exile in Amman, Jordan, he says he can help calm Al-Anbar if American officials will only listen.
Yes, I'm willing to talk to people. They have to be decision-makers. I'm willing to show them my good intent.
Kharbayt has a former U.S. congressman on his side. Bill Grant met him a few months after the war on a trip to Baghdad, and they stayed in touch.
He contacted me again and asked if he might make his case before our government. By that time, I had done some background study, not in depth, but some, to find out that he was indeed a man of his word, of considerable influence and considerable wealth, actually.
Grant has made calls to the White House, the State Department, and to American authorities in Baghdad. But so far, no answer. The Kharbayt family is well known to Amatzia Baram, a specialist on Iraqi tribes at Israel's Haifa University. Baram is now at the Washington-based U.S. Institute of Peace. He says Dulaim was the original name of Al-Anbar province. Saddam changed it in 1976 when his regime tried to brush aside the tribes, but eventually even Saddam had to accommodate the Dulaim.
They were working with Saddam Hussein, like many Sheikhli families in Iraq, at the same time, which is typical for the Middle East, when they became convinced that an American invasion is inevitable, they were also in touch with the CIA. So they actually were working for both sides.
A fact confirmed by Bob Baer, a former CIA agent who had contacts with the Kharbayts.
They control most of the desert up to the Syrian border, down to the Saudi border, and to the Jordanian border. As far as Bedouin families go, they're one of the most important.
The influence of the tribes and of Kharbayt himself, says Baer, could have an impact on the resistance.
It's possible in that the insurgents are living with the local population. If the local population turns against the insurgents, they couldn't survive.
That is what Kharbayt explained to former Congressman Bill Grant.
I pressed him about how would you do this, and he said, we will make it known that what they call insurgents, we call terrorists, are not welcome in Iraq. And it may not be 100% complete, but we will stop the death of Americans and Iraqis. And this coming from a man who lost 24 members of his own family in the war.
The death of 24 members of the Kharbayt family is an important part of the story. 2 days after the fall of Baghdad, American bombs exploded in the family compound in Ramadi. An accident in the fog of war, or a belief by the U.S. military that Saddam was hiding in Ramadi. U.S. forces conducted no follow-up investigation. Other deaths were to follow in Al-Anbar, and the armed resistance began out of a deep sense of outrage, says Amatzia Baram.
As a result of mistakes, American soldiers killed Iraqi people in the tribal areas. Immediately, they triggered off the tribal value of sharaf. Sharaf means honor. If you killed a cousin of mine, I'm honor-bound to kill one of you. And this introduced a deadly vicious circle of blood revenge, which is very, very difficult to resolve.
Further inflaming passions, the Marines arrested more than a dozen of the Harbid family. For Bob Baer, that only complicates negotiations.
So now you've not only blown up their house and destroyed the tribal headquarters and have killed a lot of people, now you put them in jail. You're going into a blood feud.
In a recent letter addressed to Harbid from the 1st Marine Division in El Anbar province, the commander, Major General J.M. Mattis, offers to open talks. There has been trouble with the Harbid family and the Americans in the past, but men of vision look to the future and put the past behind them, he wrote. In an email to NPR, the Marines confirmed there has been contact with the family. But Harbid is now looking past the military and the Iraqi interim government. He wants talks in Washington as a way to resolve the violence. Again, Bob Baer.
In order to close it down, you're going to have to get the help of the locals. And the terms are going to be tough.
Many small towns and villages in El Anbar are now no-go areas for American troops, stalling any reconstruction. Islamist radicals, mostly homegrown, are becoming a dominant force challenging the power of tribal leaders. And that fear of the loss of power could be one reason for the Harbid initiative. It could offer some solutions, says Amatzia Baram.
This will be a very important message to other tribal people in Anbar, that there is hope after Saddam, that they don't have to be desperate. I would suggest to probe it seriously and see what can be done. In itself, it's a very positive sign.
In this complex country of tribal honor and revenge, the question is, can one-time enemies become allies? Deborah Amos, NPR News.